Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
Opening thoughts regarding the J-E-T-S. Jets, Jets, Jets. A lot of negative, dysfunctional things about the Jets. Lots. So when they managed to get a dub, I think I should give them credit. The Jets managed to win the internet yesterday. And for them, that's a big win. Because again, let's face it, any dub for the J-E-T-S is a big dub. Even a really dopey, corny social media win that doesn't even make any sense.
Just corny.
Just corny, man. But the Jets were definitely pleased with themselves. And Jet fan even seemed to really enjoy it as well. Which again, I do not understand. I'm just going to say it point blank. I don't get any of this. You see, if it were me, and I were a Jets fan, and I just lived through 50-plus years of a Super Bowl drought and the longest playoff absence in North American pro sports, just to watch the team inflate this giant hype balloon last offseason, only to have that hype balloon explode in everybody's face only four snaps into opening night. If I just went through all of that and I were already scarred and utterly beaten down as a Jets fan, the last thing that I would get hyped about this morning in March is breakfast Sando content. I just wouldn't think that's so cool. I would not be that intrigued, but that's just me. Yes, breakfast Sando content is what won the internet yesterday. Some independent Jet podcaster sent a breakfast Sando over to the Jets facility just for Mike Williams, hoping that Mike Williams would show up, sign a contract, and then eat said Sando. And wouldn't you know it, Mike Williams did show up, and he did sign a one-year $15 million contract, and then he took a bite of the Sando. Jets Nation went crazy. The Jets thought that was so fresh. They thought that was so awesome. And I don't just mean Jets fan. I mean Jets organization. They thought that was so cool and so fresh and so awesome that they made the Sando their profile pic on X. And as of last check this morning, the Sando with a bite out of it is still the Jets profile pic on X. Now, I got to admit, Jets fan, upon seeing this nonsense, the very first thing that came to my mind was your arch nemesis, the Snowman. I've got to admit, the very first thing, as I saw this all play out yesterday, the first thing that I thought of was Deion Dawkins hitting y'all with, y'all are just weirdos being weird.
Weirdos being weird. Weirdos being weird.
I mean, did the big fella not just nail it? Did the Jets not confirm his take that they're all just weirdos being weird?
Weirdos being weird.
Now, when he made those comments, the Jets, the players, their fans, they all lost their collective bleep when they saw and heard what he said about them. Then they turn around and do exactly what he said about them. Just being weirdos. Weirdos being weird. And weirdos, the whole thing is just also weird. Jets, right? It's just that the part that really surprises me is how into this Jets fan seems to be. Like, I know you have literally nothing to look forward to, nothing to get hyped about, but this is what it's come to, Jets fan. You're hyped about a breakfast Sando? You're acting like that Sando is the Lombardi Trophy itself. And Jersey Jet fan, don't come running up in here. Do not come running up in here with a lecture about how I just don't get it. And more importantly, that it's not just any breakfast Sando. It's a Taylor ham, egg, and cheese Sando. And you can only get Taylor ham in Jersey. Unless, of course, you're in South Jersey, and then you probably call it pork roll. It's the same product, though, right? And it's a Jersey thing. Yeah, I know, and I wouldn't get it. Yeah, Rome, you don't get it. It's a Jersey thing. You don't get it, California boy. Oh, I get it. Oh, I get it, all right. We all get it. It's not that hard to get. We get it, we just don't care. And what I really don't get, well, besides the whole damn thing, I really don't get is what it's got to do with signing Mike Williams or why it's so impressive to you Jet fans. To me, it just looks very Jets. To me, it's classic weirdos being weird.
Weird.
All that's missing is a Rex Ryan follow-up post screaming, "Let's go eat a GD snack!" and slamming one of those Taylor Ham Sandos.
Let's go to eat a goddamn snack.
Listen, I'm not trying to be that wet blanket on the Jets social media team or on Jet Fan enjoying Jets social media. I'm not. I'm just surprised that the team is even allowed to mess around on social media with nonsense like this, considering the dumpster fire that still burns right there in the facility. It doesn't exactly seem like the best time to make your social media logo a sandwich. But that's just me. Well, you know what? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it is the best time. Because that's basically how serious the entire football operation looks from the outside right now. You know, weirdos being weird. I guess you just gotta lean into it, right? Lean into it. Maybe they officially change their helmet logo and just slap that Sando with a bite out of it on the side of those Kelly Green lids. Put it right on the side of that Kelly Green bonnet. Now we're getting somewhere. Okay, I see you working. One thing though, Jets fan, let me ask you this. Did Saquon Barkley have a cheesesteak waiting for him when he got to the Eagles facility? Was he jamming that thing down his throat as he signed that contract? Or did they do a photo shoot with Tiny Brains with his tiny hands wrapped around a Philly from Pat's or Geno's? Of course they didn't. Were there cheese curds presented to Josh Jacobs when he showed up to sign with the Packers? Of course not. Did Derrick Henry smash any crab cakes when he got to Baltimore? Of course not. Hey, Jet fan, you think maybe the Bears will send Goodell out to the podium on draft night with a deep dish pizza and a Chicago dog to greet Caleb Williams? Because I don't think that's going to happen either. I actually miss the Bills and their gift of buffalo wings to Curtis Samuel, and the part where they changed their profile pic on X to a sauced wing dipping into some blue cheese. That happened, right? Oh, wait. How about the Nashville hot chicken that the Titans presented to Calvin Ridley? Who could ever forget that one? That happened too, right? I'll bet russet potato Wilson is somewhere off to the side, furious right now that the Steelers social team did not think of this first. They absolutely could have brought him some Primanti Brothers, so he could recreate his incredibly creepy sandwich ads. You see, that would have actually been funny. That actually would have been better than the Renegade Russ dropping a cheesetastic Renegade hype video on us. Now, that going viral would make total sense to me. And you just know, by the way, that the Cowboys had a big old bowl of cowboy chili waiting never mind. They didn't sign anybody. Just messing with you, Cowboy fan. Relax. I'm well aware that they signed one veteran free agent to a one-year deal. And I'm also sure that there was no cowboy chili presented when Eric Kendricks showed up to sign on the dotted line for a one-year deal. You see what I'm getting at, Jets fan? Nobody else does this. Nobody else would do this, much less get hyped on this. This is why you have division rivals going on Vlad TV and saying you're all just a bunch of weirdos being weird. You know why? It's accurate. It's accurate. It's perfect, actually. But again, I know. I don't get it. Maybe one of you can explain to me today why this fires you up so much. Maybe my guy Eddie in NYC can call up and baby boy me and let me know why Jet Fan is so into this.
What's up, baby boy?
Then again, his takes about the Coug Hunter, Zach Wilson, never made any sense either. Yo, baby boy, how is the trade market for your baby boy right about now? Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anybody? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep. You heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask me. Make the right call. Get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. Eddie, at least there is this. We can now confirm that you truly are Coug Hunter's biggest fan in the whole world, because clearly you are Coug Hunter's only fan in the whole world. Look, Mike Williams is a nice little signing. He can be a nice complement to Garrett Wilson in an offense led by Aaron Rodgers if Aaron can stay upright. I see how you might be hyped about this. It's also easy for me to see how injuries could blow this whole thing up once again, like it blew up four snaps into last season. But, the signing is fine. And it's only a one-year commitment. Great. I get that. What I don't understand is what it has to do with a ham sando. And why you Jets fans ate this crap up. The only explanation that I can come up with is this. It's all just weirdos being weird.
Weirdos being weird. Weirdos being weird.
Anybody else? Would anybody else do this? Like, I don't know. Hey, Charger fan, you want a free agent. You want to add to your team. You want a potential impact player. Yeah, I know. You have zero cap space. And you want someone to come on a less than market value deal. Step up. The Jets laid out the blueprint. You need someone on your D-line? Why don't you go find Jadeveon Clowney and send him a lobster enchilada from Javier's? Your secondary. Yeah, man, you got problems in your secondary. The secondary is actually pretty brutal. Hit Javier's up for some queso. Put it in a bag and deliver it to Justin Simmons' doorstep.
Eat it, Hud.
How about Justin Herbert, man? He's got zero guys to throw to right now, right? Right? You think Tyler Boyd is going to say no to the Trio de Ceviche? Can you say Dundio, amigo? Weirdos being weird. Why was that so cool? Why was that so awesome? How did that win the internet?
Weirdos being weird.
1-800-636-8686. Hey, Jets fan, I really want to join in on all the fun. I just don't get all the fun.
J-E-T-S, Jets.
I guess you got to take a dub, D-U-B, dub, any way you can. All right, so there is my lead right there. Other topics I want to get to. NCAA tournament underway. How'd that go for you last night? If you're a Virginia fan, horribly. Man, that was unwatchable. You see, this is why those teams that got snubbed were so pissed. This is why you had teams in the Big East that were so pissed. Because Virginia got in. They clearly did not deserve to get in. That was not one bad night. They did not deserve to be there. And it showed. So another bad, bad first-round loss for them. Speaking of bad, bad news for Kansas. The Jayhawks had the look of a team earlier this year that could possibly win it all. They got some bad news. I'll get to that. I want to talk some more football, too. I want to talk about Jimmy G. So Jimmy G shows up with the Rams and finally talks about what happened, how he flunked that drug test. And was asked to explain what happened and did not do a very good job of explaining it. Like, you got tiny hands, a.k.a. tiny brains, a.k.a. tiny stats. The newest Philly Eagle, Kenny Pickett, got a lot of heat from me and from everybody else for the way he's handled his situation. And by the way, he's deserved it. Whatever he's gotten, he's deserved. Just as Jimmy Garoppolo deserves similar heat, too. Like, this dude is too much. The guy literally lit 11 million plus on fire and still doesn't really have an explanation and kind of finds the whole thing amusing. Yo, bro, I know a lot of people have just kind of assumed that you're not the brightest guy in the world. No offense, Jimmy. I've always kind of taken up for you for two reasons. Number one, every Niner teammate of yours that I ever spoke to loved you. And number two, I don't think you can be an idiot and play quarterback in the NFL. You have to process a certain amount of information. You have to have a certain intellect. I'm not saying you've got to be a Mensa or a genius, but you can't be a moron. You can't be dumb. So I'm always kind of like, when people say, man, this dude just, he's just not that bright. I always said, you know what? It's not fair to say that about that guy because, one, he plays quarterback in the NFL and he wins. Two, I think you're just saying that because the dude's just so, well, freaking handsome. Just because he's handsome doesn't mean he's dumb. But you know what? He sure sounded dumb yesterday. It's hard for me to make an argument that this guy came off well and bright and prepared and intelligent when asked what happened and how he incurred that suspension. In fact, it's hard for me to say anything other than, dude, you sound really dumb. I'll get to that later on. I know that sounds kind of harsh, but when you hear what he had to say, you'll understand. The Olympics are coming up, and a very interesting story dropped right before hump day. Not only are the Olympics back, or will be, but so will the hump. Remember, last out because of the pandemic? And social distancing, they were not allowed to get their hump on in the village. I mean, what's that village for? It's not because the athletes need somewhere to sleep and stay. It's for the orgy. And now they're once again going to embrace it because, according to the Washington Post, quote, the intimacy ban has been lifted and the Olympic Village will be stocked with 300,000 condoms. Good news. Except I don't think that's enough rubbers. I think they're going to need at least a half a mil. And I'll explain what I mean by that. 1-800-636-8686. Also, did you happen to see Shohei make his MLB debut? Probably not, because it was on in the middle of the night. Except he did show up, and he immediately started doing Shohei things. How very baseball of baseball to have opening day across the world in the middle of the night, and we all miss Shohei. So that's what I'm here for. I've got it for you, and I'll let you know. Let's see here. Let me get some reaction really quickly. Romy, it wasn't just a breakfast sando. It was a pork roll, Taylor ham, egg and cheese. It's a Jersey thing. Ask Chalk. He'll explain it. Tom, didn't I address that in the open? Didn't I just say that very thing? Didn't I acknowledge that it's a Jersey thing? Didn't I acknowledge that it was a pork roll, Taylor ham, egg? I addressed it specifically. I know the sando. I know what's in it. I know what it represents. I just don't know why you all got so worked up about it and why you thought it was so awesome. Clearly, Rome, you've never had one or you wouldn't be talking like this. I also gave you like 50, not only did I nail the sando, I know what the sando is. Do you think I would get on the air on a nationally syndicated radio program and talk out my ass about a sando that I knew nothing about? Then you don't know me, or you didn't listen to what I have to say. I referenced it as the pork roll, Taylor ham and egg and cheese, and that it's a Jersey thing. I did. I also gave you, after I did that, 15 examples of why I think the whole thing is so absurd and why you're getting so worked up about it. Why was that such an enormous win? And what's it got to do with Mike Williams? Come on, man. At It Is Maynard. Maynard writes, quote, It's a freaking bologna sandwich with egg and cheese on it. As bland and boring as it gets, typical Jets. That's more like it. At Smackleford, Unwar the J-E-T-S, and War Rome, changing his profile pic to the number 65. Hashtag Ikes. Great point. I didn't even mention that. Notice my profile pic. I have a Sando. Like, you all are gravy training some Sando that's got nothing to do with you. I have a Jim Rome sandwich at Ike's. I have a Sando. If anybody should be changing the profile pic to a Sando, it's me. A guy who has a Sando named after him. Sean, great point. Hi, Jim. There is no sandwich unless it's the Southern sandwich. Signed, Kyle Brandt.
I'm the punky soap star known as Lyle Grant. When I hit the sando, I'm a fat chick fan. So my body like I'm their meal. I can dance, but I can chest reveal. To motivate Jay Stew, I feed him cheese. I play so cool, Lisa loves my tease. That's why the clones got here on the double to catch Lyle doing the Southern Sando Shuffle.
Sandwich.
Are you craving some protein after a good workout? Of course. This time, though, don't make a shake or eat a bar. Grab a bag of beef jerky from Old Trapper. Old Trapper beef jerky is tasty and tender. It's made with real strips of steak and quality spices that are smoked over a wood fire, and it goes wherever you go. To the game, to the gym, to the beach. Look for Old Trapper in the Clearview bag. You can see the quality you're buying. Look for it in major retail stores near you. If you don't see it, ask for it by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef? He is Landon Dickerson. Alvy, let me see if I can pull this up myself. Landon, what's going on? How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, dude. Good. Great to have you on. So we've seen so much player movement over the last few weeks. How good does it feel to know that you're not going anywhere after you sign that new deal that's going to keep you in Philly through 2028?
Yeah, I mean, I feel extremely good about it. I mean, I think that's a big thing, especially in this industry, is, you know, you never know from one day to the next where you might end up. And, you know, being able to sign that contract and know, you know, I'll be around here for at least four more years and hopefully longer. Yeah, it's a really good feeling.
You know, Landon, that's interesting what you just said, that you know you'll be there for 4 years and you hope even longer than that. Like, the city of Philadelphia and their fans can be absolutely awesome. And then, frankly, it can be pretty brutal at times because it is a tough town with tough fans and they want to win so badly. What I'm saying is it's not for everybody. Why is it for you, and how would you describe what it's like to live and work there?
I mean, honestly, I love it. The expectation that, you know, this city and the fans of Philadelphia have for not only the Eagles but every sports team here. I mean, just the passion and everything. I mean, they're going to be brutally honest with you, and, you know, some guys don't like that. But, I mean, you know, they let you know walking down the street or, you know, hell, even sometimes going in at halftime, you know, you're playing a bad game, you're going to get booed. So, I love the passion the fans have, love the honesty, love how much, you know, they put their heart and soul into it. And, you know, I know personally for me as a player, it just makes me want to play that much harder.
Landon Dickerson is joining us. So you kind of answered my next question, but let me just ask this anyway, because you love it there. Clearly, you love it there. You love the vibe. You love your teammates, but it is still a business. For instance, you could have played the upcoming season on the final year of that rookie deal and then explored other options. Why did you choose to get this thing done right now?
I mean, I chose to get it done. You know, like you said, I really enjoy it up here. You know, my wife and I are living up here. You know, not only, you know, the city and the fans, but also just, you know, the organization as itself. I mean, from the top down with, you know, ownership, Howie, the coaches, I mean, everybody in that building. You know, I'm big fans of, you know, how they treat, you know, it's a lot of people say it's like a family almost organization, but I mean, it truly is. I mean, you know, guys are hanging out outside of things. You know, they have families and stuff. And it's just the way the organization as a whole treats its players and everybody else in there. You know, it's something that I've heard a lot of guys, or not a lot of guys, but guys have gone away and played for other teams, or, you know, gone away and come back. How much they miss it. So it's one thing that I hope to not have to experience.
We're talking Eagles football. Landon Dickerson joining us, got that new deal. Now, with a new contract, without getting into any of the numbers, but with a new contract, it's going to create some immediate liquidity, so to speak. You get a nice signing bonus. Some guys might use that money and buy a flashy new rig. Maybe they get a house. Maybe they go on a luxury vacation. You told reporters, though, you had a different kind of purchase in mind. What did you throw down for?
I plan on throwing down for a lawnmower, and I haven't gotten one quite yet. Luckily, Northeast right now, it's not quite grass cutting season, so I got a few weeks left until I'm going to have to start mowing. So really for me, in the market to, look for a nice lawnmower. I'm a big guy, so, finding one that's going to be comfortable for me and fits me, then, just enjoy cutting some grass. I mean, simple man when it comes to that.
Dude, I love that so much. Like, so what kind of a lawnmower? Like, are we talking about, like, the Lambo of lawnmowers? Like, what do you got under the hood? What kind of horsepower? Like, are you looking for a real exotic lawnmower? Is there such
a
thing?
I mean, I'm not looking for exotic. I mean, there's different things. I don't know how much you get into, like, grass cutting and stuff. But, really, just for me, looking for, like, a commercial lawnmower. Something that, cuts a little faster, a little wider of a deck, and that's really about it.
Yeah, dude, I want to get into the weeds on the weeds. I kind of want to get into grass cutting because I don't know enough about grass cutting. What is it? Like, how much of this is, like, you've got pride in property? How much of this is it's relaxing and you enjoy it? Like, obviously, dude, you don't have to do that yourself, but you clearly like doing it yourself. Why do you like doing it?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a little time to yourself. I mean, you get out there, you can throw some headphones in, you can listen to music, listen to a podcast, audio book, really whatever you want to do. And it's just, it's relaxing. I used to, growing up, I'd mow yards in the neighborhood, and that was, push mowing and walking, a push mower around. I mean, you get on like a zero turn lawnmower, I can just, sit there, use the handles and, mow a couple acres in a couple hours. And, it's really just, peace, quiet, being outside, being in the sun, nice fresh air.
I love it. Landon Dickerson joining us. One thought about listening to a podcast. So if you put on the headphones, are you consuming sports content or do you go in a totally different direction? What are you doing for podcasts?
Podcasts, I'll just kind of, there's a lot of different things I listen to. I mean, honestly, I kind of like the almost like the crime podcast.
Yeah, true crime.
Yeah, stuff like that. Yeah, I listen to that. I listen to a lot of music and just, kind of whatever comes on the phone. I don't really pay attention to it a whole lot. It's just kind of background noise.
Landon Dickerson joining us. All right, so let me ask you about that offensive line, because you staying in Philadelphia is a really good thing in the sense that there's some much-needed continuity on the line now as the team starts to move on from Jason Kelce, who announced his retirement. In fact, what were some of the biggest things you learned from playing alongside the future Hall of Famer? What was that like?
I mean, I think we'd be here for a couple hours if I tried to sit and list everything, but I'll try and summarize it. Just, one, I think he was just a tremendous person and teammate overall, just, how to carry yourself. He didn't really, care to be too flashy with anything. He was always a good person, no matter if it was, talking to another 10-year vet, the owners, or your rookie player, or even like a custodian. He treated everybody with respect and, treated them well. On the football side of things, just the amount of knowledge he has on the game. And, I don't think I'll ever be able to come close to that. But just the way he was able to see things, pick them up, and make adjustments just, in the blink of an eye. Something I had never seen before, and something, it's super impressive, especially in this league with, how good of, players and coordinators have with schemes you're getting, with, how things are disguised. I mean, he was able to just, read defenses like a book. And, it's one thing that I'd like to learn more of how he saw things, but at the same time, he's got 10 years of experience on me that, I can't just make up overnight.
No doubt. And a very special dude at that. Now, he mentioned Cam Jurgens is a possible successor at center. He'd move over from right guard. You, though, played some center at Alabama, so your name's been mentioned as well. Has the coaching staff communicated to you who's going to replace him and what the plan might be?
Yeah, I mean, for us right now, him retiring obviously throws a wrench in things until we get to, OTAs and we can start getting out there as a team and, figuring out what the best five guys, on that line is going to be. And, you know, I think that's the biggest thing is, you know, the staff and players. We want to put the best guys out there to, you know, have the best guys playing. So for us, it's really, you know, we don't know right now. I'm sure there'll be a lot of tests and different combinations of people. We still got, you know, the draft coming up and acquiring other guys. So, I mean, there's no telling, you know, by the time mid-April rolls around, you know, what the team looks like. So, you know, really it's just kind of a wait and see, you know, what combination works best when we get there.
Landon Dickerson joining us for another moment or so. Speaking of acquisitions, whoever it is that's up front and however it's set up, you're going to be blocking for somebody new as a positive development in the addition of Saquon Barkley. How much are you looking forward to blocking for him, and how do you think he's going to bolster an already powerful offense?
Yeah, I think Saquon was a great addition to, you know, his team. Just the talent that he has along with, you know, a lot of other guys on the offense, you know, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, A.J. Brown, Jalen Hurts, you know, we got a lot of talent on that roster. And, you know, I'm extremely excited for, you know, a back like Saquon to come in. He's a guy that can be fast. He can get outside. He can outrun people. And at the same time, you know, he doesn't mind putting his head down and running through somebody. So, you know, as an offensive lineman, I appreciate that. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to see what our, you know, new coaches and coordinators can do with, you know, the talent we have on this roster.
Landon Dickerson was a Pro Bowler each of the last 2 years. He won a national championship and was a unanimous All-American at Bama. Gets himself a new contract. Landon, a couple things. I'm looking forward to seeing you guys on the grass. And even on some level, I'm looking even more forward to you getting on the grass with your new lawnmower whenever you get it, dude. Congrats. Great to have you on the show. Appreciate that.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for having me on.
So let me tell you about something. The other day, I come across a product that all of us should be carrying around. It's amazing. It's something different for fresh breath. It is an incredible product called Zelman's Minty Mouth. And guys, it is a game changer. If you're up in the grill of somebody else and you're making your case for whatever it is, make sure your breath is fresh. Zelman's cleans your breath in a way that other mints don't and can't, because it's not just a mint. It's a functional breath freshener capsule that you swallow. It's clinically tested against the toughest offenders, even garlic and onions. You just pop two or three in your mouth, suck the minty coating, then swallow the capsule for the confidence of fresh, clean breath that lasts for hours. The product is like nothing else you've ever tried. It fights bad breath in your mouth. It then goes right down to your gut. This is the ultimate hack to get rid of coffee, garlic, or smoker's breath. You're going to like having the confidence of long-lasting fresh breath, or you get your money back guaranteed. These folks will give you your money back. Not that you're going to want it, but they will. They've got free shipping if you order three packs or more, and trust me, you're going to want more. And nobody likes to pay for shipping. Go to Zelmans.com right now. That's Zelmins.com. Right now, you'll get 15% off when you use the promo code ROME. Zelmins.com. You do have to use the code ROME to get your 15% savings, ROME. I've got to give it to Major League Baseball. Baseball, always gonna baseball. At least baseball is always consistent, always dead on brand. Leave it to baseball to have something that everybody actually wants to watch, and then have that thing happen in the middle of the night in South Korea. Genius, right? Another triumph for you, Bob Manfred. They always did call you the best marketer in sports. That's what they all say. Nobody promotes their game like Bob Manfred and his hunk of metal.
Piece of metal.
If you were like everybody else in America and did not wake up to watch Shohei debut as a Dodger, I've got news. Shohei debuted as a Dodger. He hit second. He had a couple of hits. He knocked in a run. In other words, he did Shohei things. And it means opening day of the MLB season is already here, and the opening game is already over. You already missed opening day. The Dodgers are 1-0. Thanks in large part to a major assist from Jake Cronenworth. Exploding glove. His exploding glove. I bet most of you would know exactly what I'm talking about if the game did not happen at the butt crack of dawn halfway around the world. By the way, and to be totally fair, baseball didn't set it up this way on purpose. They had announced this Seoul series last summer, which of course was long before it was finalized that Shohei would be a Dodger. That was all the way back when it was merely a foregone conclusion that Shohei would be a Dodger. How could anybody in the league have possibly have known that that was going to happen? So I'll give you a little clearance on that, Commissioner. Who saw that coming? Besides everybody in the world? Anyway, the opening game of the 24th season is in the books, and so is the first game on the biggest contract in the history of sports. Even if Shohei isn't going to see basically any of that paper for a decade, and I still can't get over that part. I will never get over that part. I will never get over this dude deferring 97% of his $700 million contract. It's absurd enough that he signed a $700 million contract. And if that weren't absurd enough, he then turned around and decided to immediately defer 680 of that 700 mil. And the best part of it is, nobody had to talk him into it. It was his idea. The Dodgers did not present to him, "Hey, Shohei, we have a way to get you to 700 mil. However, we want you to defer almost every last dollar of it." I mean, he would have laughed him out of the room. He went to them and said, "I got an idea. How about I defer 97% of my contract?" So the Dodgers didn't put him up to it. They didn't pressure him in any way. They didn't even pitch him on it. Because who would pitch something like that? If you want to get the guy, who would make an offer like that? Who at the Dodgers would have ever even come up with something that unheard of, nor had the gonad to actually pitch it to the best player ever? No, as we know, nobody with the Dodgers did. That was all Shohei. And we also now know the Dodgers' reaction to Shohei's big idea, thanks to a Tom Verducci report. Think about that for a minute. What do you think the Dodgers said when Shohei said, "I'm coming. 700 mil sounds great, but here's something to think about. Here's what I'm willing to do for you." Can you imagine what the reaction must have been? There's only one reaction to hearing that from Shohei. They reacted the way everybody would have reacted and did react. According to Verducci, Dodgers president Andrew Friedman's reaction to Shohei's proposal was a two-word reaction. Two words. Holy bleep. With the bleep being an actual F-bomb. Holy F. Shohei said something probably along the lines of, Andrew, I mean no. Tourette's, I'm sorry. Andrew, I'm willing to defer 97 mil of the contract, or 97%, and 680 mil, to which Friedman responded, "Holy F." Sounds about right, doesn't it? Because that's exactly what the rest of us were thinking and saying. That's what I'm still saying. I bet the Dodger brass are still dropping holy F's on the daily. Because somehow, some way, it's all real. And it's really real now because it's officially happening now, even if it's officially happening at the butt crack of dawn, halfway around the world, and nobody actually saw it. That's incredible, but not really. How else would you react to something like that? Holy F. Quick, somebody get this man a pen. Holy F. Is that a yes, Andrew? Do you like that idea? You like that? Holy F, we like that. That's tremendous. Anyway, the Major League Baseball season is underway. The Dodgers are undefeated. Shohei picked up a bat, knocked in a run, had a couple of knocks, and they still get to defer 97%. Of his contract. And before you come in here and say, "Hey, Rome, what's the big deal? He makes like $30 million plus in endorsements." Tell me how many other guys would do that. Remember that whole thing about you know, Shohei needs things just right. Shohei is very particular. Shohei loves the Angels because they let him do essentially whatever the hell he wants. Shohei does not want all that pressure of the media glare. You know, Shohei. I'm going to call bullcrap on that. He just deferred $680 million. Clearly, he wants to win. Because that's freeing them up to spend that money on other pieces. Obviously, he's not all that particular about how things have to be. He wants to win more than anything else. He put his money where his mouth is. Who else would do that? Let's talk for a minute about O'Reilly Auto Parts, because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road and offering helpful service and parts knowledge that you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They have thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. And they can also test your battery for free. If it needs to be replaced, they will help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. When you need a specialty tool to finish the job, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and ask about their loaner tool program. Simply pay a refundable deposit and borrow the right tool, then get your deposit back when it's returned. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto, do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. He is Landon Dickerson. Alvy, let me see if I can pull this up myself. Landon, what's going on? How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, dude. Good. Great to have you on. So we've seen so much player movement over the last few weeks. How good does it feel to know that you're not going anywhere after you sign that new deal that's going to keep you in Philly through 2028?
Yeah, I mean, I feel extremely good about it. I mean, I think that's a big thing, especially in this industry, is, you know, you never know from one day to the next where you might end up. And you know, being able to sign that contract and know, you know, I'll be around here for at least four more years and hopefully longer. Yeah, it's a really good feeling.
You know, Landon, that's interesting what you just said, that you know you'll be there for 4 years and you hope even longer than that. Like, the city of Philadelphia and their fans can be absolutely awesome. And then, frankly, it can be pretty brutal at times because it is a tough town with tough fans and they want to win so badly. What I'm saying is it's not for everybody. Why is it for you, and how would you describe what it's like to live and work there?
I mean, honestly, I love it. The expectation that, you know, this city and the fans of Philadelphia have for not only the Eagles, but every sports team here. I mean, just the passion and everything. I mean, they're going to be brutally honest with you. And, you know, some guys don't like that. But, I mean, you know, they let you know walking down the street or, you know, hell, even sometimes going in at halftime, you know, you're playing a bad game, you're going to get booed. So, I love the passion the fans have, love the honesty, love how much, you know, they put their heart and soul into it. And, you know, I know personally for me as a player, it just makes me want to play that much harder.
Landon Dickerson is joining us. So you kind of answered my next question, but let me just ask this anyway, because you love it there. Clearly you love it there. You love the vibe. You love your teammates, but it is still a business. For instance, you could have played the upcoming season on the final year of that rookie deal and then explored other options. Why did you choose to get this thing done right now?
I mean, I chose to get it done. You know, like you said, I really enjoy it up here. You know, my wife and I are living up here. You know, not only, you know, the city and the fans, but also just, you know, the organization as itself. I mean, from the top down with, you know, ownership, Howie, the coaches, I mean, everybody in that building. You know, I'm big fans of, you know, how they treat, you know, it's a lot of people say it's like a family almost organization, but I mean, it truly is. I mean, you know, guys are hanging out outside of things. You know, they have families and stuff. And it's just the way the organization as a whole treats its players and everybody else in there. You know, it's something that I've heard a lot of guys, or not a lot of guys, but guys that have gone away and played for other teams, or, you know, gone away and come back, how much they miss it. So it's one thing that I hope to not have to experience.
We're talking Eagles football. Landon Dickerson joining us, got that new deal. Now, with a new contract, without getting into any of the numbers, but with a new contract, it's going to create some immediate liquidity, so to speak. You get a nice signing bonus. Some guys might use that money and buy a flashy new rig. Maybe they get a house. Maybe they go on a luxury vacation. You told reporters, though, you had a different kind of purchase in mind. What did you throw down for?
I plan on throwing down for a lawnmower, and I haven't gotten one quite yet. Luckily, Northeast right now is not quite grass cutting season, so I got a few weeks left until I'm going to have to start mowing. So, really, for me, in the market to look for a nice lawnmower. I'm a big guy, so finding one that's going to be comfortable for me and fits me, then just enjoy cutting some grass. I mean, simple man when it comes to that.
Dude, I love that so much. Like, so what kind of a lawnmower? Like, are we talking about like the Lambo of lawnmowers? Like, what do you got under the hood? What kind of horsepower? Like, are you looking for a real exotic lawnmower? Is there such
a
thing?
I mean, I'm not looking for exotic. I mean, there's different things. I don't know how much you get into like grass cutting and stuff, but really just for me looking for like a commercial lawnmower, something that, cuts a little faster, a little wider of a deck, and that's really about it.
Yeah, dude, I want to get into the weeds on the weeds. I kind of want to get into grass cutting because I don't know enough about grass cutting. What is it? Like, how much of this is like you've got pride in property? How much of this is it's relaxing and you enjoy it? Like, obviously, dude, you don't have to do that yourself, but you clearly like doing it yourself. Why do you like doing it?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a little time to yourself. I mean, you get out there, you can throw some headphones in, you can listen to music, listen to a podcast, audiobook, really whatever you want to do, and it's just, it's relaxing. I used to, growing up, I'd mow yards in the neighborhood, and that was, push mowing and walking, a push mower around. I mean, you get on like a zero-turn lawnmower, I can just, sit there, use the handles, and, mow a couple acres in a couple hours, and, it's really just, peace, quiet, being outside, being in the sun, nice fresh air.
I love it. Landon Dickerson joining us. One thought about listening to a podcast. So if you put on the headphones, are you consuming sports content or do you go in a totally different direction? What are you doing for podcasts?
Podcasts, I'll just kind of, there's a lot of different things I listen to. I mean, honestly, I kind of like the almost like the crime podcast.
Yeah, true crime.
Yeah, stuff like that. Yeah, I listen to that. I listen to a lot of music and just, kind of whatever comes on the phone. I don't really pay attention to it a whole lot. It's just kind of background noise.
Landon Dickerson joining us. All right, so let me ask you about that offensive line, because you staying in Philadelphia is a really good thing in the sense that there's some much-needed continuity on the line now as the team starts to move on from Jason Kelce, who announced his retirement. In fact, what were some of the biggest things you learned from playing alongside the future Hall of Famer? What was that like?
I mean, I think we'd be here for a couple hours if I tried to sit and list everything, but I'll try and summarize it. Just, I think he was just a tremendous person and teammate overall, just, how to carry yourself. He didn't really, care to be too flashy with anything. He was always a good person, no matter if it was, talking to another 10-year vet, the owners, or your rookie player, or even like a custodian. He treated everybody with respect and, treated them well. On the football side of things, just the amount of knowledge he has on the game. And, I don't think I'll ever be able to come close to that. But just the way he was able to see things, pick them up, and make adjustments just, in the blink of an eye. It's something I had never seen before. And something, it's super impressive, especially in this league with, how good of, players and coordinators have with schemes you're getting, with, how things are disguised. I mean, he was able to just, read defenses like a book. And, that's one thing that I'd like to learn more of how he saw things. But at the same time, he's got 10 years of experience on me that, I can't just make up overnight.
No doubt. And a very special dude at that. Now, he mentioned Cam Jurgens is a possible successor at center. He'd move over from right guard. You, though, played some center at Alabama, so your name's been mentioned as well. Has the coaching staff communicated to you who's going to replace him and what the plan might be?
Yeah, I mean, for us right now, him retiring obviously throws a wrench in things until we get to, OTAs and we can start getting out there as a team and, figuring out what the best five guys, on that line is going to be. And, I think that's the biggest thing is, the staff and players, we want to put the best guys out there to, have the best guys playing. So for us, it's really, we don't know right now. I'm sure there'll be a lot of tests and different combinations of people. We still got, the draft coming up and acquiring other guys. So, I mean, there's no telling, by the time mid-April rolls around, what the team looks like. So, really, it's just kind of a wait and see, you know, what combination works best when we get there.
Landon Dickerson joining us for another moment or so. Speaking of acquisitions, whoever it is that's up front and however it's set up, you're going to be blocking for somebody new is a positive development in the addition of Saquon Barkley. How much are you looking forward to blocking for him, and how do you think he's going to bolster an already powerful offense?
Yeah, I think Saquon was a great addition to, you know, his team. Just the talent that he has, along with, you know, a lot of other guys on the offense, you know, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, AJ Brown, Jalen Hurts, you know, we got a lot of talent on that roster. And you know, I'm extremely excited for, you know, a back like Saquon to come in. He's a guy that can be fast. He can get outside. He can outrun people. And at the same time, you know, he doesn't mind putting his head down and running through somebody. So, you know, as an offensive lineman, I appreciate that. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to see what our, you know, new coaches and coordinators can do with, you know, the talent we have on this roster.
Landon Dickerson was a Pro Bowler each of the last 2 years. He won a national championship and was a unanimous All-American at Bama. Gets himself a new contract. Landon, a couple things. I'm looking forward to seeing you guys on the grass. And even on some level, I'm looking even more forward to you getting on the grass with your new lawnmower whenever you get it, dude. Congrats. Great to have you on the show. Appreciate that.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for having me on.
We're talking about the Summer Olympics in Paris. I'm pumped. Probably not, though, for the reasons you think. I mean, sure, watching the most elite, well-trained athletes on the planet compete against one another is cool. It is. And technically, I am talking about physical activity. Just not the type of physical activity that they hand medals out for. Although they should hand medals out for this physical activity. I'm excited about this year's Olympics because having SEX, 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 is back. Sex is back at the Olympic Village. Sex is back in the games. According to the Washington Post, quote, the intimacy ban has been lifted and the Olympic Village will be stocked with 300,000 condoms. This comes after the ban was put into place during the Tokyo Olympics due to the COVID-19 pandemic, where athletes had to practice social distancing. End of quote. Hard to get nice at distance. Hard to get nice while you're socially distanced. But getting nice in the Olympic Village is now back on. Quote, banging is no longer banned in the Olympic Village. All. I need Jim Lampley on Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Go ahead, Alvy. All is right. All is right once more in the world. Don't ask me to explain it. Anyway, let's be real. Thanks, Alvy. What up, Lamps? Let's be real. The Olympic Village has long been known for, well, orgies. I mean, never mind building out an Olympic Village every 4 years. It's like they build out a mini Chatsworth every 4 years. Think about it. Again, you've got some of the most in shape, insanely physical specimens, in shape, athletic, virile people in the world, all slammed together in tight spaces, pent the hell up, nervous, anxious, sexually charged energy. Hell yes, they're getting nice. In fact, nobody's getting nicer. Nobody is getting nicer anywhere. Seriously, never mind that they have worked their entire lives for this very moment. No, wait, check that. They've worked their entire lives for this very moment. Probably swiping right 100 times every minute and humping anything and everything that moves.
Hump day.
Hump village. Hump day. Hump month.
Get your ass up out of bed.
In fact, I don't think 300,000 are going to be enough. They're going to need a hell of a lot more rubbers than that. They'll probably run through the 300 GER before the opening ceremonies. Probably during the opening ceremonies. How great must it be to be an Olympic athlete? I'm not sure there's a better place in the world to get nice than in Paris, of course, the city of love. I mean, come on. It is the most romantic city in the world, right? Anybody would tell you so. Even the French call it sport in the room. And the slogan for the Olympics this time is, quote, games wide open. That's a real thing. I'm not even joking. Games wide open. Yeah, something tells me that that's not going to be the only thing that's going to be wide open. If they're dishing out 300,000 condoms. Reportedly, you want to do the math? Let's do the math. Reportedly, if you do the math, good one, OG. If you do the math, there will be enough condoms to, quote, have sex multiple times a day. End of quote. At this point, the games are already a footnote. Who cares about a gold medal? I'm here for getting nice multiple times a day. Are we talking about the Olympic Village or the Olympic brothel? Oh, and that's not all. Quote, they're actually accommodating. They're making it possible. They're encouraging. Encouraging and accommodating. Quote, the village is making sure to provide beds that can support 550 plus pounds and will be providing a lot of food. The village director says they have a near 400-yard buffet stocked with food from across the world. End quote. All right, so you've got sturdy beds to get nice on. And there's no way you're getting nice on empty stomach. They're going to fuel you up first. 400-yard buffets. Imagine that. Imagine a buffet table that is 4 football fields long. It seems to me that instead of a medal, these elite athletes are going to return home triumphantly to their countries, fat and STD infested.
Fat boy.
Wait, no, scratch that. The condoms should prevent almost all the STDs. As long as they don't run out.
Fat.
Or break. So you're just going to return home fat. 400 yards?
Fat boy.
4 football fields of food. How is that possible? Never mind my summer vacation to Wisconsin. I'm going to Paris. I'm giving up the pontoon for Paris. You already know that there are going to be some kinky freaks who try to have protected sex on the 400-foot buffet. Because, of course, they're going to run out of every other way to do it. The committee needs to schedule the events around lunchtime and sex time. You know how boxers always talk about not having sex before fights? Does that apply to the Olympians? I mean, it should, right? Tired legs, dead legs. Anyway, it's not official. The Olympic jingle, this famous, legendary, iconic sound, will now be replaced by this equally famous, legendary, iconic sound. The sound of porn. You know the one thing I haven't heard yet, though, that I want them to bring back? They brought back the prophylactics. They brought back the 4 football field long buffet tables. The thing that I want them to bring back from the Tokyo Olympics were those cardboard beds. Remember? I mean, rest and recovery is so important. Athletes need rest. Remember they had them sleeping on cardboard beds? Like they had to assemble their beds when they got to their rooms and they were made out of cardboard. And the Olympic Committee tried to justify it by saying it was all in the name of sustainability and recycling. Yeah, I don't know. I think that we all know that what it was really, it was in the name of anti-freakery. We all know those were anti-sex beds. That wasn't in the name of recyclability and sustainability. That was in the name of anti-nicery.
Nice.
You know, extra weight. Or sudden jerks or movements would cause the bed to collapse. They're anti-hump beds. No one's getting on a cardboard bed. Yeah, I know, Ira, whatever. Nobody's getting on a cardboard bed and getting nice.
Nice.
All of these athletes had to overcome massive odds to be where they are. I'm pretty sure, though, that a cardboard anti-sex bed is an obstacle that they can conquer. You're not stopping them from getting their sex on. If a sprinter can shave .00000000000000001 off their time in order to just qualify for their dream, trust me, they could handle the cardboard sex challenge. And no, clones, cardboard beds are not an open invitation for bum smack. And even more importantly, it is not a green light for bum sex smack.
Sex with me.
Not having that. I mean, they're sending a message. 300,000 rubs. It's once again okay to get nice. Not 300,000 masks. Not 300,000 cardboard beds. 300,000 prophylactics, man. Have at it. I wonder what they do with that. You know, that's not like getting on an airplane where they hand you a little wipe. That's 300,000 prophylactics. Are they just dropping them in pallets from airport, from helicopters? And is that food? Is that food? Are those provisions? Well, yes and no. They are provisions, but it's not food. They're condoms. People choking each other out for rubbers. You know, like when there's fires and the planes swoop down and they drop that red pesticide to put the fire out? Or actual planes crop dusting and dropping pesticide? Now, these are low-flying planes dropping condoms. Tens of thousands of them at a time. Forklifts, airplanes. It's probably a full-time job. Sarah, get off my guy. Sarah goes, remember when Bob Costas got an STD in his eye during an Olympics? Damn, Sarah. It was not an STD, it was pink eye. And my man was game as hell. He played through it. Those were like crazy shifts. Not only was he the best there ever was in a studio, an Olympic studio, he's the GOAT. Bob's the GOAT. You think that guy really wanted to get on camera in front of the entire world with pink eye and play through it for super long shifts? But he did. Total pro. If I had pink eye, I wouldn't even want to be on the radio, much less on camera. He did. Come on, Sarah.
Good night, no!